Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I assume there are people who dutifully close down everything and turn off their computer every day, but I've never been one of them. I don't like to shut my computer down because I don't like to close out all my internet tabs. I don't like to shut down all the things I'm still trying to work on. I can imagine there's a small feeling of satisfaction that comes with turning off your computer at the end of the day. And if you are one of those people, you can give me testimony about that later. I just find my satisfaction in opening up my computer each morning and finding all 53 tabs open, exactly as I'd left them. But sooner or later, all of us who do our work on computers find ourselves in a situation where we just have to close it down and reboot, whether we want to or not. When something on the computer is stuck or frozen and force quit just isn't working, eventually there's just no choice. Reboot. When something isn't loading right, or things just aren't working the way they're supposed to, which happens a surprising number of times if you don't turn your computer off for 18 weeks in a row. But when things aren't working right and every effort at addressing it has failed, reboot. When the computer says the memory is full and that in order to operate, it has to be shut down, then that's what you do. Reboot. Sometimes there's an update to the computer system that you have tried to put off, and you finally realize you just have to make that update, and in order to update, you are gonna have to close everything down and shut the computer off and restart it. So you reboot. In other words, on the computer, when you've done all you could and nothing else has worked and you don't know what to do next, this is what you do. You reboot. You quit trying to do what's not working. You let it go. You turn the computer off. You might lose some work. And then you turn it back on and you start over again. Everyone knows the new year is a good time for a reboot. Whether you've been feeling stuck or not, whether you feel like what you're doing is not working or it is, reboot. A lot of us enter the year with deep hopes and big dreams for our bodies, our relationships, our careers, our homes, our families, our finances. We have desires to do better, to be better. These desires aren't superficial. Our longing comes from a deep place. We want to live good lives. We want to be the best people we can be. Now, some of the manifestations of those longings may seem superficial, but I think that's because it's just easier to measure pounds lost and dollars saved and A's made than it is to measure our real worth, our real impact, our real legacy. It's hard to measure the meaning of life, so we will settle for what the scale or the mirror or the checkbook or the report card will tell us. Our mistake maybe isn't having goals that can be measured in these ways. Our mistake is allowing those metrics to tell us who we are, who we need to be, and what our worth is. It isn't just the beginning of the new year, 2020. In the church, it's also the Feast of the Epiphany, the holy day for commemorating the journey of the Magi, the visit to the Christ child. And it is a story of a fresh start. The Magi, who we have traditionally called wise men or kings, were actually neither of those. They were priests. They were Zoroastrian priests, holy men of one of the world's oldest religions, the official religion at that time of the area we now call Iran. Before the official religion became Islam, Zoroastrian priests were scholars who were known for telling fortunes, understanding astrology, and interpreting dreams. And like the Jews, the Zoroastrians were anticipating the birth of a savior, the true savior. So the priests spent their lives scanning the skies in hopes of knowing when this miraculous birth had happened. So when they spotted a star rising in the night sky, they went after it. And they visit the king to ask where the child is. And based on what his priests tell him, the Zoroastrian priests go to Bethlehem on the prophecy of the Hebrew scriptures. They follow the star to the little town of Bethlehem, and they see the star stop over the place where the child is, and they are overwhelmed with joy. They go in the house. They see the child with his mother. They kneel down. They worship him. They open their treasure chests and give him strange and extravagant gifts. And then they act on a dream they all had that warned them not to return to see the king. So they leave for home, going by another road. Man, it's a beautiful story. We love it. It's the story of a fresh start. These men had spent their lives waiting for something and watching for a sign of it. And when they see that sign, they go for it. It leads them to an encounter with God, the encounter they've been longing for. And so they kneel and they marvel and they give the gifts they've brought. And they get up and go another way, a new path. Reboot. And it strikes me that this story, for all its mystical, almost magical details, actually gives some very practical pointers on making a fresh start. The pointers could, in fact, fit on one of those neat little lists that everyone posts and sends around for the new year. You know what I'm talking about. 3 steps to financial health. 5 habits for a new you. 7 days to physical fitness and no debt and the happiest children in the world. Next week, you'll be disappointed with all of those. But the Magi have something more to offer. Here are the Magi's 6 steps to a fresh start. I know, it's supposed to be an odd number. It's supposed to be 3, 5, 7, 21-day jump start. Here are the Magi's 6 steps. Number 1, pay attention. The Magi saw that star rising in the sky because they were looking for it. They were ready for it. They were waiting. They were watching. They were paying attention. It's the first invitation for anyone who wants a fresh start. Pay attention. Awareness. Mindfulness. Be present to the moment, to the world around you. Lift your eyes from the screen and look. Notice what is happening in your life, in the room that you're in the world that you're in. Engage with it. Be ready. Number two, do the next right thing. Just the one next right thing, the next step. The Magi saw the star rising, and they followed it to a destination they could not yet see. They had to stop and ask questions and seek wisdom along the way. They didn't know the whole path when they started. They didn't have to. They knew what they were seeking. They just didn't know the details of where exactly they were headed or how they were going to get there. And they didn't wait for that. They didn't wait for everything to become clear before they would do anything. They took one step at a time, trusting there would be enough light all along the way. It's good to remember at the beginning of a fresh new year, even when you know what you want, what you're seeking, you don't have to have everything mapped out. And you don't have to wait for it all to be clear or even for it all to make sense. You just need to take one next step. And then the next one. And then the next one. And keep doing that. The next right thing. Number three, pause for wonder and for worship. When the Magi arrived where they'd been headed, they stopped. They celebrated. They were overwhelmed with joy, and they knelt down in wonder and in worship. When we live truly engaged lives, when we pay attention to the details of what's happening in our lives, our attentiveness leads to awe. We will attend to the details. We will notice the details, the dark, warm comfort of that first sip of coffee, the crispness of the pages of the book we're reading, that penetrating gaze of the pet at our feet, the soft sound of snow slapping on the sidewalk, even the smooth feel of the phone in our hands that connects us to each other and to the world. When we are mindful, attentive, engaged, any one of those details, even the seemingly most mundane, can be a stopping point. A chance to pause for a moment of gratitude, joy, wonder, even worship. Not of the coffee or the cat or the book or the snow or the phone, but of the God that sparks behind it all and connects us to ourselves and to each other and to what is holy. Number four, give the gifts that are yours to give. When you have that moment of wonder or worship, how do you respond? I know the gifts that the Magi gave that baby were outrageous. They seem ridiculous. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. They knew they were going to see a king. They put together treasure chests full of every kingly thing they could think of. And we remember them for it. We remember specifically what they brought. We remember their extravagance and their generosity, but we also remember the particulars, the details. They weren't generous in general. They gave specifically. You and I have gifts to give too, not just in general. Specific contributions to make, a particular way of being and doing and giving that is uniquely yours. We have the impulse to give, the need to give. And you may be tempted to hold back because you think what you have to bring doesn't measure up, or it isn't enough, or it isn't good enough, or maybe whatever your unique gifts are just don't seem like useful contributions to a hurting world. But you have no idea how God might want to use even your most outrageous interest or ridiculous seeming ability. You and God are the only ones who know what your deepest desires, gifts, passions, interests, and abilities are. And God is the only one who knows what will happen if you use them. If you release those desires, gifts, passions into the world, give what is uniquely yours to give, even if it doesn't seem useful or spiritual enough or appropriate. Have you been holding back? Reboot. Number 5, listen. Listen to your God-given dreams. Listen for the voice of God, however it will come. The Magi were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. If the Magi do as the king has instructed and return, bringing word of where the child is, the child will be in danger, and maybe the Magi will be too. But the Magi have a dream, and they listen to it instead. They don't listen to the actual words of an actual person in power. Listen to this deep, strange, mystical thing. They have a dream, and they listen to it, which can't be easy. It's so much easier to listen to the pundits and the politicos and the popular opinion than it is to listen for God's voice, especially when it goes against what we were already told. What we already thought was the right thing. But our God-given dreams can carry a message. And our experiences, our insights, our emotions, our gut reactions, these can all be vehicles for God to speak wisdom into our lives. Wisdom of another way. Wisdom that undoes what we thought. God is reaching towards us all the time and will use any means necessary to connect and to speak. A star, a baby, a dream. Number 6, do all these things. Pay attention. Find the next right step. Pause for wonder. Give the gifts that are yours. Listen. Do all these things with your people, your community. Yes, do them on your own too, but don't forget, you are not on your own. You are not alone. In this way, the kind of reboot we're talking about is actually pretty different from rebooting your computer. If you've had to do that under stressful circumstances, you know the frazzlement of sitting before a frozen screen, realizing there is nothing anyone else can do to help you. All you can do is turn the thing off, lose what there is, and turn it back on. That's not what we're talking about here. You're not alone. Yes, you have your own individual hopes about the year ahead, and you will face your own particular challenges. But you are not alone in your effort to start a new year in faith and hope and love. The Magi traveled in a group. They helped each other see and interpret the signs and take the next right step. They worshiped together. They gave their gifts together. They even apparently all had the same dream. And together they understood it in the same way. They listened to it and they set out on a different road together. It was home they were headed for, but the road they were going to take this time was different than the one they'd taken before. So too with us. 2020 stretches out ahead of us, all fresh and promising, like every new year seems. In the coming weeks, we will continue talking about how we make a fresh start in faith and in life, how we take the different path that God may be calling us to. But for today, we just listen to the invitation the story of the Magi offers us. We can reboot, start over again, if we pay attention, do the next right thing, pause for wonder and worship, give the gifts that are yours to give, listen to your God-given dreams, and all the other ways God is speaking. And do it all connecting with your community. And here's the secret. These aren't just neat little tips for a new year. These are soul practices for any time, any day, every day. Reboot. Happy New Year.